You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Someone once said, marriage is like a bathtub. Once you are in it for a while, it's not so hot.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. National Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, Creator and Redeemer of the world, as you have a heart for us in your Son, Jesus Christ, give us heart for one another in our families out of reverence for Christ. Bless our homes with love that understands and cares, something like the love of your Son, who gave himself for all of us. In his name we pray. Amen. Marriage, as everybody knows, is not all sweetness and light. There are those days when it seems to be more blah than bloom. Knowing how to handle the marriage blahs is very important to a happy marriage. A lot of people never seem to learn that. When the bloom is off the rose, they quit. Marriage was meant to last. For the majority of people who are married, it does last. Statistics say that, in spite of all the prominence and publicity given to divorce these days. To make a marriage work and last takes some doing, however. Without a lot of gimmicks for a happy marriage, St. Paul laid down one good piece of advice for husbands and wives. Submit yourselves to one another, he said, out of your reverence for Christ. That takes some doing, some rearranging of priorities, some new understandings that were not there before. Marriage produces a kind of revolution in the lives of people, but it is not as exciting as a revolution from day to day. Let's take Bill and Barb, who have just been married. The honeymoon is over, and they're back at work for the first time since their wedding. They're about to spend the first evening together in their little apartment, and they're excited about it. Barb comes home about 30 minutes before Bill, and after meandering around the apartment a bit, she decides to begin dinner, her first dinner, for her new husband. Before she gets the potatoes peeled, Bill walks in the door, goes straight to the kitchen, and sweeps her off her feet with an embrace and a passionate kiss. Before she's able to recover fully, Bill is in the comfortable green chair by the lamp, reading the sports page. When dinner is ready, Barb calls him, and he bounces in with a big smile and says, "Wow, that does smell good." After a normal amount of chatter and compliments, the dinner is ended. Bill excuses himself and goes off to watch Monday Night Football on TV, while Barb clears the table and washes the dishes. Later on, they get together and enjoy a tender evening. The next night, things are pretty much the same. The third evening, the same thing happens again. About the fourth evening, Barb begins to wonder what is supposed to be so exciting about marriage. That evening, she explodes. She yells at Bill. "Why don't you help me? Who do you think I am? I didn't marry you to be your slave." Bill doesn't know what hit him. "What brought all this on?" he asked Barb. "You mean you want me to help you cook and wash the dishes?" Bill is surprised, to put it mildly. He and Barb never talked about these kinds of problems before they were married. In Barb's home, her father always helped her mother in the kitchen. But Bill's father never did, and Bill really didn't know how to do it any differently. The time comes in every new household when the all-important questions have to be answered. Who will carry out the garbage? Who will clean the toilet bowl? Barb assumed they were his job, and he assumed they were hers. Whether it be the toilet bowl or the laundry or the garbage or the vacuuming, it could become a source of irritation. In many marriages today, husbands and wives echo the thoughts of Barb when they say, "What's so exciting about marriage?" Their marriages are dull and boring and filled with blahs. Sometimes those marriages end up in divorce because people were not prepared for marriage, or because marriage was not exactly what one or both of them expected. In many cases, however, it was simply that the initial excitement went out of marriage, and neither husband nor wife seemed to know what to do about that. What about all those blahs? Sometimes marriage seems almost like a perpetual motion machine, able to put out just enough energy to keep itself going, but with little purpose, little excitement, and not much accomplishment. Marriage does seem, at one time or another, like going through the motions. People get married. They stay married. They celebrate their 10th, 25th, and perhaps 40th wedding anniversaries. And they're still asking, will it ever be much more than it is right now? Someone once said, marriage is like a bathtub. Once you're in it for a while, it's not so hot. St. Paul would not settle for such a description of marriage, and I won't either. I would rather agree with Paul that marriage is one of the greatest gifts of God to humanity. The gift gets better with the years. And the best part of it all is that life with a good marriage acquires new meaning, clearer focus, and a kind of divine strength to overcome the obstacles which always appear in a lifetime. A good marriage can be beautiful. Marriage can be satisfying and joyful. It can be that for years and years, growing better as the years go by. It does need direction. And it does call for a new focus, not on father and mother or brothers and sisters, but on the stranger who has become husband or wife. That's the first principle of a good marriage. This does not mean that husband or wife quits loving father and mother and brothers and sisters. Indeed, that love comes into focus with the attachment which husband and wife have for one another. The attachment is more than a cord that ties them together. It's more than the cord that ties a new mother to her newborn child. In marriage, two lives become one. Husbands and wives give themselves to each other completely. This tie is both physical and spiritual. If it is just physical, it probably won't last. If it is just spiritual, it probably won't last either. That will probably get some people angry. Marriage counselors and pastors have to deal with those angry people all the time. They want to be satisfied physically, but they don't want to satisfy their partner spiritually. Or they want to be satisfied spiritually, but they don't want to satisfy their partner physically. Marriage is a physical and a spiritual partnership of everything that is in a man or woman. That's what St. Paul was thinking about when he said, "Submit yourselves to one another because of your reverence for Christ." How did Christ get into this, anyway? God, who made marriage for the happiness of humanity, sent Jesus Christ as a human being to save us all from the blahs. There's nothing so deadening as death. And Christ came to save us all from the death where there is no returning. Nothing dampens the lives of people so much as the realization that time is going by and death is just that much closer. People who have no hope in God have the feeling that they ought to be getting more out of life because time is fleeting. Younger people have that feeling, and so do older people. It makes them do crazy things. It turns them against others, and especially against the one who's closest to them. They are afraid they are missing something, and something better is just around the corner. They don't trust God, they don't trust anyone else, and they don't trust themselves. The fact is that people like that cannot be trusted. The second principle of a good marriage is trust. Without faith, a marriage goes to pieces. I've seen marriages overcome very big problems. The toughest one to overcome is loss of faith. If you can't trust your partner in marriage, whom can you trust? It takes a long time to rebuild trust once it has been damaged or destroyed in a marriage. St. Paul called for real trust in marriage. Put yourselves at one another's disposal because of your reverence for Christ. This is not a violation of anyone's humanity. Rather, it's just the beginning of a new humanity. As you can see, it takes a lot more than ordinary human trust to do something like that. That's why St. Paul added the words, out of your reverence for Christ. From him we learn how to trust. He trusted himself to his Father, and he came out unashamed. He trusted himself even into death, and he came out vindicated by the power of his Father. He took the worst and did not try to escape it. He overcame it, not for himself, but for everyone who puts his trust in Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ is the focus of real life. It's a good way to start a new marriage. It's a good way to go through the days and the years of marriage. It's a good way to meet the blahs of marriage, which inevitably come, to find behind the clouds the sun still shining. Reverence for Christ gives people that focus and that perspective on life. Learn to trust and to be trusted out of reverence for Christ. The third principle of marriage is love. It's more than the superficial and sentimental thing that so many people call love these days. It's not just a momentary attraction, although attraction is a very important part of marriage. It's not the ability to live together without beating each other up, although it is important that marriage does not become a vehicle of private and personal satisfaction without any concern for one's partner. It is love, as Christ gave himself for the life of the world, without any real thought about himself. He didn't go around looking for compliments, because he did not have to do that. He was secure in his sonship with the Father. He did not have to parade his virtues or his piety. He was all heart, and everybody could see it. God is love, and Jesus was love. He is love. And reverence for Christ recognizes the centrality of love in human life, especially in marriage. The love of Jesus caused him to put himself in the place of everyone else. He died for us, took our sins into his own heart, became sin for each and every one, so that with faith in him we might stand in the presence of God himself, forgiven, and knowing that we are loved. That's love. It's not so much that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be a substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. He loved us. And we ought also to love one another. That's the basic principle of marriage. Anything else is pure imitation. Love is the real article. As St. Paul said, open up your hearts to one another without restraint because of your reverence for the Lord Christ. The fourth principle of a good marriage is forgiveness. It's the willingness to be forgiven and the willingness to forgive. Sometimes acceptance of forgiveness is just as hard as the ability to forgive. It requires grace of a high order to accept forgiveness, and grace of the same order to forgive. Without forgiveness, a good marriage is impossible. With forgiveness, out of reverence for Christ, any marriage can become a good marriage. Forgiveness is not flashy, but it is enduring. Forgiveness may not look important, but it is the beginning always of new life. It is that from God, and it is that also from one to another. In a good marriage, there are no gimmicks. It's not really a question of doing this or not doing that. Of course, there are certain things that a loving couple will do, and there are other things that they will not do. They will pray for one another. They will take care of one another in sickness and in health. They will suffer with one another when the going gets tough. They will help one another when help is needed. They will not go around spreading stories about their partner in marriage. They will have confidence that when things go wrong, they can be put right. They will talk to one another, and they will listen to one another. These things are important. But deeper than all of that, and more important than all of that, they will do what St. Paul says. Submit yourselves to one another out of your reverence for Christ himself. It takes work to make a good marriage. It takes thought to make a good marriage. It takes action to make a good marriage. It also takes words, because we are human. A good practical word is, I love you. It's not necessary to be like the man who was upbraided by his wife for never saying, I love you. And he answered, I told you that once before we were married, and I meant it. Marriage was meant for telling and caressing and holding and loving. That, said St. Paul, is what you can do out of reverence for Christ. God does not hold it against you that you have sinned. For the sake of Christ, he forgives you. That's the good news, the gospel. Christ shows us, in practical ways, how good it is to forgive and to give. That kind of living and giving is the opposite of what we're used to hearing about these days. It's the opposite of self-assertion. It's the opposite of insistence upon one's rights. It's the beginning of a good marriage, and the glory of a good marriage. In a good marriage, forget yourself and submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's not utopian. It's very practical. It's amazing. And it's wonderful what a good marriage can do to overcome the blahs of the world. And what reverence for Christ can do to make its own contribution to the well-being of the world. Amen.
Listening to a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your own life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Media Programs Department of the International Lutheran Layman's League.